Okay, welcome back. I believe we're at episode 10 now of Addiction and Redemption. I think in the last episode I said I was experimenting with sound, putting some pillows around the microphone. I don't know if it's working. I listened to it. It sounded exactly the same, but hey, you got to go for it. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in. My name's Dave Keenest. Hit me up at dave@davekeenest.com. Brought to you by Keenest Coaching. And we're just going to continue on with the story. And again, I'm going to plug the Julian Baker album. Turn out the lights. Check it out. It is a masterpiece. The more and more I listen to it, the better it gets. So I talked about becoming a maintenance alcoholic. I'm back in Chicago, and it's just not my place. And I kind of drank myself through that winter. Now, it wasn't all terrible. As I managed to get a few things done, one of them being as I went and I did a job interview. I went and had a job interview to teach English in Japan. And that's another story. That's a couple stories down the road, maybe in the next episode. But so that was cool. And I did manage to, I believe I got my teaching license transferred to Illinois. So that was cool, too. So now I've got, double licensure. And things could have gone a certain way. But I could not stop drinking. And the what was happening is the wine bottles. I was a wino by this point. The wine bottles are starting to pile up in the closet of my bedroom, and it started out as like one, and then all of a sudden it's 10, and then all of a sudden it's 20, and it was really gnarly. And here's another little piece of my writing. So I woke up every morning to madness and senility. I tried to drink and force it in, but would vomit brown bile, churning out my insides and losing chunks of my body and soul to the poison. My eyeballs popped, and sweat poured down my face, drenching me while I knelt with acid-flavored insides, slipping out of the toilet and forming abominable yellow-brown ribbons that floated long enough to show me my sickness, then sank and went into the sewers. I could taste it and smell it getting caught in my throat, and it lasted all day and tasted like death because I wasn't really alive or human anymore. I was a creature, and this is my life, right? And there were some mornings when I could manage to not drink, and there are some mornings when I could manage to be somewhat productive. I think I got my hands on some Xanax once or twice, and I think that's how I actually landed that job interview. I think I got kind of had the Xanax, and it took the edge off long enough. Now, I remember going to that interview and actually drinking some cocktails on the way down. But just to maintain. And the winter went on like that. And all of a sudden, it's just this dark, disgusting, gray January. And the snow's gotten all black. You know, it's like in the Midwest when it snows and then just stays cold. And then the snow turns from pretty white to just black and brown. And it builds up on the sides of the roads. And everybody's just cold. And spring's a long ways away. And my life had just become just this gray existence. And I remember walking through the kitchen of the house that I grew up in and seeing myself in the mirror, and it was like looking at a corpse. And I was just so sad. I was, by this point, I was, depressed isn't even the word. I was just just as lost of a soul as there could ever be. And I mean, even talking about it, it's getting me emotional. And it was one of the, if not the darkest, the beginning of the single darkest point of my life. So the end of this all is 18 months or 17 months in the future, and I got a really long haul ahead of me. And so this is where it gets really interesting, because one day I got a phone call. It was like 3 p.m, and I was drunk. And I got a phone call from this guy who was in my brother's class, and we used to party together. And he said to me, people are worried about you. We've been hearing that you've been drinking too much. This is from back in Colorado. He lived in Colorado. I'm like, yeah. And he said, well, have you been down to the spot yet? And I said, the spot? What do you mean? I kind of played dumb with him. He said, the dope spot. He said, Cicero. And I said, Cicero and what? And he said, Cicero and Fulton. Now, that's a cross street. It's a cross streets on the west side of Chicago. I said, Cicero and Fulton, really? And I hung up the phone right then and there. Now, I can't remember. Yeah, I hadn't been arrested again yet. So I hung up the phone, I got in my car, and I drove down to the west side of Chicago. Now, Driving to the west side of Chicago as a white kid from the suburbs is an adventure in and of itself. And I had never actually done this. I had heard about it, but I had never actually done it. And it is one of the biggest adrenaline rushes I've ever experienced in my life. Awful things happen down there. There's raping, there's murdering, there's shooting, there's gangs, there's prostitutes, there's everything. And I got in my car and I went and I got off on Cicero. I got off 290 on the expressway on Cicero, off the Eisenhower 290 expressway. I got off at the Cicero exit and took a left. And Fulton is about 3/4 of a mile down, I want to say, if that, maybe a mile at the absolute most. Now, it's fine if you're driving on Cicero, because Cicero is kind of a major thoroughfare. But as soon as you take that right turn off Cicero, you're officially in someone's neighborhood. And it's just a different scene altogether. And there's kids, you know, young African-American kids, and they're kind of crisscrossing the streets, and they're kind of whistling, and they see you. Now, I didn't know how to handle myself. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if I'm just supposed to, you know, flag somebody down or whatever. But, you know, I think someone whistled, and I looked up, and they asked me what I wanted. Now, I knew that the term for heroin was blows from years before. That's what they call them in Chicago, is blows. It's a little package of heroin. He said, rocks or blows? And rocks are obviously crack. I didn't want crack. I wanted heroin. And I told him I want some blows. And he said, how many? I said, 2. And he said, all right, park. And that's all you got to do. So I pull over. But, I mean, mind you, I'm about 2 or 3 blocks down away from the expressway at this point. So you had to go down the first block, and then there's this little quick right and this quick left, and then you got to go down another block. And there's, like, this dead end at Costner. So I'm at Fulton and Costner. And I'm about maybe 6 blocks away from the Eisenhower Expressway in the hood. And there's just all these people standing around, and it's just a different world. And all of a sudden, although I have not encountered a police and no one's ever told me to watch out for the police, it is implicitly understood almost at the instinctual level that you do not want to see police down here, that they will arrest you simply for being here. But these kids, they run it like a business. And I pulled over. And I'm on the, I'm facing east in my truck, and there's Costner. And so what I want to do is get the dope and then take a right on Costner and head south and get back to the Eisenhower Expressway as quickly as possible. But I got to sit there. And so I'm sitting there waiting, and the waiting is like an eternity. I don't think I've ever waited longer in my life, and it never changed. The waiting always just took forever, and you could always hear your heartbeat. It was like the most, it was all, I almost want to say it's exhilarating. It's almost like when I go surfing today and the waves get a little, nowadays, and the waves get a little big and it gets a little challenging and a little scary and I'm a little outside of my comfort zone. It's a very similar feeling. It's like an addiction to adrenaline type of a feeling. And I'm sitting there and this guy comes up to my car and he's just, you know, he could tell I'm freaking out. And he just goes, yo, man, just relax. Just chill. You're cool, man. You're cool. And you're cool, dog, I think is what he said. And I was like, all right. So I didn't realize at this point that they want customers. And so it's weird because there's this like peculiar level of customer service that happens down there. Not to say that something god-awful couldn't happen, but there was like, they treat the customers like customers. And so finally, this guy comes out like out of nowhere and just knocks on my truck window. And I'm like, shit, what do I do? And he's like, just relax and roll your fucking window down. So I roll my window down, and he gives me a couple of packages. They're wrapped up in duct tape. And I give him $20 and I get the fuck out of there. So I think I pulled over very shortly. I took a right onto the street Costner, and I think I pulled over and I unwrapped it. And there it was, the China White, the Chicago world famous China White heroin. And I dove right into that shit. And I just opened it and I could see it. I could smell it. It tastes kind of like, it's really sour. And I just took a little bit because I didn't know what it was going to do to me. And all of the sudden, literally in an instant, all of my problems went away. So all of that alcoholism from the days before, it went away. And it was nice. And I'm gonna I'm going to backtrack, I think, a little bit in the next episode because there was something that I forgot to mention. There's like a kind of a critical thing that happened to me the day before. But this was the beginning of the end. Now, in the beginning of heroin use, you got $20, and that $20 can last you a very long time. It can last you 2, 3, even 4 days. A little bit goes a very long way. And when you're a new customer, what I think they do is they give you better shit than they give you when they recognize you and you're a full-blown junkie. But all of a sudden, I had discovered the ultimate solution to all of my problems. And all of a sudden, I was happy again. And all of a sudden, I was smiling again. And all of a sudden, it looked like I had a bright future because, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, I had interviewed to go teach English in Japan. So it is such a slick, it's like almost like heroin is a sociopath. Heroin is the devil because it gives you everything you think you want, and it treats you pretty good for a while. But this was the beginning of a very interesting relationship, and this is ultimately what led me to this microphone that I'm speaking into to you through. Did that make sense? It all began this day, and I want to say that this was late January, early February of 2006, somewhere in there, so it's early 2006. And life became different. So once again, thanks for listening. My name is Dave Keenis. This has been episode 10. We got 10 episodes of Addiction and Redemption. Going to finish this series up and then move on to the next one. But thanks again for listening, and talk to you guys next time. Shoot me an email, dave@davekeenis.com. Go to my website, davekeenis.com, and see what some of the people have said about my coaching. I don't need to reiterate this again, but my coaching and my addiction stuff are two different things. I'll probably throw that in every few episodes. But if you're struggling with addiction and you need someone to talk to, I can point you in the right direction. And if there's some stuff going on in your life and you need a little outsider perspective, I'm happy to talk about that as well. So have a beautiful day/night. God bless. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.